God, as we continue in the series and symbols, many of us have seen how dirt and earth represents us and what you're doing in our lives. And last week, wind, and today I pray the same thing happens with fire, that we would sense some of your intensity and glow this morning if we haven't already, and that you'd use whatever I have to say today to enact real life change, and that our hearts would be different as a result of having a true taste of you today. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. I've noticed that fire can be used in a pretty intensive and wide-ranging ways. Johnny Cash talked about that when he talked about love as a burning thing, that song we did earlier. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but he would be incredibly biblical at that moment. Because God is love. That's what it says in the Bible. God is love. He's also justice. He's also mercy. He's also a lot of different things. But God is a burning thing, and love is a burning thing. And we see over and over in Scripture, about 500 times actually, that fire and God are linked together, or that God actually uses fire to bring about his purposes. First time I noticed how fire can really bring about change was when I was playing football in high school. And we had this coach that was a master motivator. And he came in before the first game of the season. We had just done all of our pregame stuff and all our pregame warm-ups and everything. And we were sitting on the floor in the locker room, and you could cut the tension with the knife because everyone was silent, wondering what Coach Eli was going to say. And so he comes in, and he's got one of the programs, the football programs for that day's game. And he says, "You know what? When I look inside of this, I see a lot of talents. I see a lot of good people. I see some people that can really play ball really well. But you know what? There's something missing." And he pulls out of his pocket lighter. He goes, "You see what this is?" He says, "That's a spark. That's what that is. That's a spark. And what we're missing on this team is we're missing somebody who's going to be a spark and is actually going to catch on fire." He said, "We need somebody to catch on fire, and we need that fire to spread." And he goes and he lights this program on fire. He goes, "And that's what we need. We need a football team that's all fired up. We need all to be on fire. We need to go out there and kick somebody's rear end." He throws it down, smokes all over the place. He's stamping on it. And we're all sitting there like, "Let's go kill somebody right now. Let's go kill." You know, we're like, we get up and we go out and lose is what happened that day. We lost. We lost most of our games. I didn't say he's a good coach. I said he's a master motivator, is what I said. Motivation lasted like the first minute until you actually got hit. You know, it's like that Mike Tyson line. Everyone's got a plan until they get hit. We get hit and then we would lose. And God is very similar to fire. We see this in the scriptures. And there's three ways I want to talk about that this morning. God is like fire. One reason is because God consumes. God consumes. Some of us, we want to relegate God to one little corner of our life. And I had a thing that came to me when I realized exactly how intense God could be. It actually came through one of the darkest evenings in our family's history. It was about 10 years ago. And we were sleeping. It was a cold night right after Christmas. And we were sleeping, and I woke up. This is very unusual, because I never wake up. The only thing, sounds don't wake me up, nothing wakes me up. The only thing that will wake me up is my bladder. That's the only thing that will wake me up. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was this smell. And it wasn't connected with my bladder either, if that's what you're wondering. There was this smell. And I realized immediately that it was fire. And I said to my wife, Libby, I said, "Get up, hon, fire." Threw something on, went over and got the kids out of bed. Lena was about 3 or something like that. Woke her up. Jake was about 8 months old or something like that. He was standing in his crib, just kind of checking things out. I scooped them up, run downstairs, put them outside, came back in. And I'll never forget what was waiting for me when I came back in. There was this sound, this deafening sound. It was like a jet engine. In the whole house. And it's very difficult to even describe what it was like. It could be described as quiet rage, calm chaos. It was just this very strange feeling that was throughout the house, this deafening quietness that was happening in there. Libby was in the kitchen, and she was trying to put out throw rugs that were on fire. She was taking little cups of water and trying to throw them, get it off fire. And she didn't realize what I could see. In this old house, there was old pine flooring. And I could see between the old pine flooring and the cracks a raging inferno down in the basement. She was fighting a losing battle. I said, "Hon, just get outside. Get outside. The house is coming down." She picked up the phone, went outside in the porch, called 911. Next day we came back. The phone was dropped on the porch, and the cord and everything on the other side of the house was gone. I said, "Get out of the house." So we got the kids and rushed out, went next door to our neighbor's house, Ed and Elaine Eck. And we sat and we watched outside the windows as the fire was consuming our kitchen. I remember thinking, okay, we called the firemen. They're going to get here. It's all right. We can patch this thing up. We'll just, put this thing out in the kitchen and everything will be okay. And all of a sudden, you'd see flames burst into another room. Like, poof, pop into the upstairs bathroom. It's like, oh, gosh, there's the bathroom. That's all right. Firemen are going to come. They're going to come right now. We'll put this out. We'll be okay in the bathroom. Be okay in that. Just like that, poof, flames erupt in another room. And I was just watching this next door. And if I had more of a sense of humor, I would remember that old Eddie Murphy stand-up routine. Remember that? Where he goes, "Fire! I'll show you fire. That's a fire. That's a fire. My house, it was a fire." It was an intense thing. And this is very similar to actually what happens with many of us spiritually. We think that we can contain God to one room of our life. We say, you know what? Sunday 11:40, that's when I have my little God thing. And so I want to have a little spiritual warmth. I'm going to go to 11:40 church. Or maybe the little room is whenever I have a hard time in life, I want to go to God and I want God to give me a little warmth and a little good feelings. Or maybe it is, whatever it is, key life moments. Then I want to go to God. I want to go to the warm glow of God and help God make me feel good. It's kind of like that old Castaway clip. If you saw Castaway and Tom Hanks is trying to make fire, he's working and working and working and working, trying to get sparks and his hands are all blistered. Finally, he gets fired and he's all excited, but he had to create the fire. Many of us, we go around trying to create some sort of spiritual fire that's going to make us feel good and make us feel warm. And this is not the picture for God that we find in scriptures. Instead, we find in scriptures is that God is a consuming fire, and he might start at 11:40 on a Sunday with you, or he might start at a funeral or someplace where you really need God, but he will not be contained to that place. He wants it all. He wants to consume your life, go throughout every single room, every single area in your life. We were at this church where I was serving on staff, and it was a very interesting time for us. Because people who were around me were saying, "Brian, you and Libby, your family, you really ought to get someplace else where God can use you in a different way. There's other things we think God wants to do in and through your life." And we weren't really taking that seriously. One of the reasons we weren't taking that seriously is because this house we were living in was awesome. It was awesome. It was on an acre of land, beautiful, nice little house. And we had no money at all. We were a family of four with a household income of $28,000 a year. And we didn't have any money in the bank. We didn't have any money to buy and pay for renter's insurance. That's another story, And so we really were not interested and serious about looking if there's something else God wanted for our lives, because we as a family wanted to be able to have a home. And this is the only way we ever saw being able to have an actual home for our family. One night, Libby's coming into our driveway and she looks inside our house, and it's a winter night, and there's a fire roaring in the fireplace, and I'm there with a friend, and it looks like a Thomas Kincaid painting. It was just dreamland. And she paused with the groceries before she came in, and she said to herself, "Man, I love this place. I am never leaving here." That night, the fire hit our house. That night. Now, I'm not saying God necessarily caused it. I'm saying Libby caused the fire is actually what I'm saying. Saying she caused it. No, she didn't have anything. She didn't have anything to do with fire. But I'm not one of these guys who sees a demon behind every bush and sees God making socks match. I'm really not. But here's what I know. There's been enough things that have happened in my life that I can't pass it all off as coincidence. What I know is when God comes and gets involved in my life, he consumes it. He comes into one area, and then he's like a raging fire, just going from room to room to room, saying, "Mine, mine, mine, mine. I want to be involved in the totality of your life and not just this one little area." And there comes a place where we need to realize that when God comes into our life, it does make us feel warm. It does make us feel good. We feel a level of peace. But that turns into burning intensity as God turns up the heat within us, and we say, "Man, whatever you want for my life, God, whatever it is, I'll go. Just say the word, whatever it is." Starts with a nice warming fire in a fireplace, but it will come to a place if God is really there where he utterly consumes our life with fiery passion. God and fire consumes. God and fire also divide. They have that in common. They divide, you know. Fire starts, man, people run. They scatter. There's a dividing effect when fire happens. It's been fascinating for me reading all the reviews on Mel Gibson's new movie, The Passion, and watching this stuff on television. I haven't seen the movie. I'm curious. How many of you in here have seen that movie, Mel Gibson's? Wow, it's a lot of us. I haven't seen the movie yet, so, you know, I don't have an opinion one way or another. But here's what I find fascinating is that critics watch this movie and they have entirely different interpretations and entirely different reactions to the movie. Here's what one guy from the New Yorker said this last year. The movie Gibson has made from his personal obsessions is a sickening death trip, a grimly illuminating procession of treachery, beatings, blood, and agony. Gibson is so thoroughly fixated on the scourging and crushing of Christ and so meagerly involved in the spiritual meanings of the final hours that he falls in danger of altering Jesus' message of love into one of hate. Guy obviously is not a fan of the movie, doesn't think it's well done, doesn't think it's a good movie, whatever. So, huh, interesting. Well, then I read what Richard Corliss says from Time Magazine. He says this: Jesus is a deity who has fallen in love with his human side. Only death can restore his divinity. And he speaks in very complimentary terms of how his literal interpretation and depiction of the gospel account is refreshing. And it's very interesting. I watch people on television, and they have entirely different reactions. I think, are all these people going to the same movie? Are they going to the same movie? How can it be that you can be so divided on an experience? And I realize, oh, that's right. That's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said this in the book of Luke 12. He said, I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's completed. This is where we get baptism by fire. And Jesus says, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. And what does this mean? Does this mean that Jesus is saying that his primary mission is to divide people? No, it's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, my primary mission, I'm going to go about it with such intensity and such fervor that everybody will have a reaction to it. You know, a lot of spiritual gurus that we have around today, you could take him, leave him. Oh, interesting. You know, there's really nothing there to really totally get upset about because you really don't know what the heck they're saying oftentimes. Okay, but with Jesus, when he comes and he walks this earth and he speaks, he's so crystal clear about his resolve to unite people to God and how that's going to happen through him. And he is so intense and intentional about that, that from day one he was divisive. Not because he wanted to divide, but because he was so clear he had a polarizing effect. And here 2,000 years later, when people get an accurate depiction of who he is, he still polarizes. This is what fire does. This is what God does. He's very clear. And unfortunately, that ends up in division. You know, and the closer you get to Christ, the closer you get to the heart of God, and the closer God gets to your heart, you'll find that some people are attracted to you more and are more intrigued with you and are more excited about you. And you'll find that some people are really upset and they're really confused and they're really not liking the change that are in your life. You will find that happens in both scenarios. Because the consuming God fire, when it comes around, people have a reaction. Fire also has other qualities like destroying and purifying. And this is what God does. God destroys and God purifies. When a craftsman works with a precious metal, what he'll do is he'll take that metal, he'll put it into a furnace, let's say a silversmith, and he'll melt it down. And the fire that's in that furnace will burn away all the impurities. Or the impurities will come to the top in the form of dross, and the silversmith will scrape off the dross and throw it away, and the liquid will be purified. It's very similar to what God wants to do with us. Sometimes he'll put us in the fire to where things in our life that should be gone, they end up getting burned away, or we get purified. And one of the tensions that a silversmith has to work with is if he keeps it in the fire for too long, it can get burned and singed, and the basic quality of the metal can be lost. And the way the silversmith knows that it's been the fire long enough is when he can look into it and he can see his image reflected. Sometimes we're in the midst of the fire and we've got pain that's coming to us, we've got difficulties, and we go, I can't bear with it one more minute. I can't, I can't, I can't. And God knows how long we have to be in the fire. And the way he knows is when he could finally see his reflection, his image in our life and say, that person's ready. That person's ready. This is the way it works. And it's the only way I can understand this passage from the book of 1 Peter. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. That's fire. Trials come to us. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, some people or some of us lose our faith. And what this passage teaches is when we lose our faith, we maybe didn't have faith to begin with. It was a false set of pie-in-the-sky ideals, and when difficulty comes on, it's not the genuine article, and it just vanishes, it disintegrates. And other times, we have difficulty that come upon us, and our faith gets refined, it gets forged, it gets strengthened. It's the only way I can understand friends of mine who have been through inferno experiences that I can't fathom. And we have an inferno experience with the fire. Wouldn't want to wish that in our life ever again. But there's other inferno experiences people have. I look and go, how in the world do you do it? You know, friends of mine, over the years, you lose children to death. You go, oh, how in the world you do that? And here you are, believing and loving God more than ever before. How is that? Because they're forged. They're refined. I have friends who have been in the midst of marriages where there's been sexual addiction or just intensive sexual stuff that's happened. And you see the spouse and they hang in there and they stay there. And you go, oh, gosh, how is it that you're not hateful and bitter and, you know, all that stuff. And you're not enabling, but you're trying to work through this. It's because the faith is being refined and forged. And I have friends who've been through intensive cancer stuff. One specifically has had to have his chest cracked open. They did this experimental treatment where they put radioactive pellets directly into the chest cavity and closed them up. And it looked like it worked. So just recently, he died and left two beautiful kids and a beautiful wife behind. And look at these kids and this wife. And their heart is as big and as soft as ever. In this place, we go and talk about the unique fire experiences, whether it be something at work or a bankruptcy or whatever. And obviously, all the friends I mentioned, all the ones in here, no question there's times where you go, God, I hate you. No question there's moments where you do that. No question there's moments where you go, God, are you sadistic? No question there's moments where you question everything in the core of your being. But in the end, you come through the fire and you stand. How is that? It's because there is a genuineness. There's a genuineness there that God is using to forge us. I've been experiencing some heat recently, and many of us too who've been involved with the crazy campaign. We had a crazy campaign kickoff a few weeks ago, and we just kind of educated people about it, and it kind of goes underground for the most part until April or so. But one of the things that I said during the crazy campaign kickoff a few weeks ago is I said, hey, if you've been coming here and we had people sign up for teams, and over 1,000 of you signed up for crazy campaign teams to help make the thing happen. Very cool. And a bunch more at least put their name down on the card to say, you go ahead and keep me involved in the spiritual journey we're going to go and be on. And when we did it with the cards, you know, I said something that was pretty feisty. I said, hey, if I gave a disclaimer, like if you're first time or something like that, you know, this, I'm not talking to you, but if you're sitting there and you didn't fill out a card at least to tell us who you are so you go on the spiritual journey so we could give you the right information. I said, you know, we know this isn't your church. Time for you to leave. It's time for you to leave. And people were like all upset about that. And I said, it's because it's a spiritual journey is what I said. It's a spiritual journey because if that says you don't want to go on the spiritual journey, and our church is about people want to grow wherever they are. And I had, fire came my way, let me tell you. Blowtorches in my face, blowtorch coming in my face. And it happened right after the Saturday night service. A woman came down and said, I know you weren't talking to me. I know you weren't talking to me. I said, well, why? She said, well, I'm ready to give you money. I want to give you money. I'm ready. You have me. I'm ready to give you money. I said, well, how long have you come to Crossroads? She said, six months. I said, did you fill out a card? She said, no. I said, well, I'm talking to you. He said, but I want to give you money. You have me. I said, it's not about fundraising. Oh, come on. She said, oh, yes, it is. I said, no, it's not. It's not. It's about a spiritual journey where God can communicate to us and we can get close to the heart of God. Certainly money's involved, but it's not about that. She said, and I said, you really don't believe me. She said, you're right. I don't believe you. I said, I'm serious about this. It's not about money. And she said, well, I'm going to come back tomorrow because I know you're going to change it. And she came back the next day and it was the same. And she went out to all the volunteer leaders who were in the atrium and verbally accosted each one of them after the service on Sunday. And when I'm in those situations, you know what I want to do? I want to, everything in me wants to go, oh no, no, I wasn't talking to you. Everything in me wants to like put out the fire. Everything in me wants to put it out. But I've been around long enough and know what God's done in my life that there's more happening there. The refiner is doing something in that person's life. And it's irresponsible for me to just neutralize it and put out the flames because God's doing something. I had a friend of mine call me this last week and he said, hey, I'm with this other organization that's doing this fundraising thing and they want to get with me and find out what I'm going to give. And so I need to get with you, if you don't mind, and just figure out what I'm going to do with Crossroads. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. So what do you mean? I said, well, I don't know what you're supposed to do. This isn't a funding thing. It's a spiritual journey. And Liv and I don't know what we're going to give. We need a few more months to figure this whole thing out. He said, well, I got to do this other thing. I said, well, then trust that you'll do what's right. And everything within me wants to just say, oh, we'll do this. Everything within Liv and I, we just want to say, oh, we'll just pick this number. And it's a fire is on us. It's a fire. It's a difficult thing. And this is how God works with us. He brings the fire under us that causes us to have reactions and starts purifying us. I'm going to be going out west sometime this summer, and there's a big tree I want to see. I'm going to be in Yosemite for one day. And I've heard about this tree that's hundreds of years old, and they have a cross-section of it taken out. And you can see all the growth rings that are in this tree. And one of the there's various rings that are black, and they're charred. And you could see there was a forest fire that had sort of swept through there. And that's very similar to how God works in all of our lives. There's these seasons where they're charred. Or there's these seasons when the fire comes upon us and we feel like we were entirely devastated and destroyed, yet we stand. And now we know, of course, enough about forest fires. You know, the forest fires in the long run are healthy, help fertilize the soil and all that sort of stuff. And in your life, some of us in here, we don't even have one growth ring yet. You know, we are so new in our relationship with God, we don't have a growth ring. Some of us maybe have 45, 40 growth rings. And as you take a look at your life, it's very tempting to think, oh gosh, this right now is the whole thing. No, this is just one ring you're in right now. And you'll notice the longer you walk with God that there'll be burnt out spots that you thought was the end of your world, but it was actually the beginning of the next growth ring because God was burning something out of you and purifying you in a way that a day on the beach could never happen. And this is how the refiner works. This is how the refiner enters into our world. I don't know about you, but I love feeling good. I love feeling good. I love feeling warm. Love feeling peaceful. Love it. Love it. I love it. I don't like fires. I don't like fires. I don't like blast furnace in my face. I don't like that. So you know one of the things that I try to do? I try to identify as many things in my life as possible that are going to burn and get them out. A lot of us have pain in our life because we've got stuff in our life that God's got to burn out of us. You know, we've got dry kindling all through our life. We've got open containers of kerosene beside stacks of newspaper. And all of a sudden fire comes. Whoa, how'd that happen? You had open gasoline in your life. You had dry kindling in your life. And, you know, you need to remove that. You need to get out that so that when the refiner comes through, that stuff can't catch on fire and cause you some of the discomfort that none of us like to go through. And I can identify over and over and over again that's happened in my life. And in this place, there's a lot of flammable material. A lot. Including right here. On this place. There's a lot of things that if I don't take the proper steps and remove them from my life, the consuming fire will come in and remove it if he really cares about me. Sometimes I look at people and it seems like nothing ever goes wrong in their life. They don't believe in God. They don't like God. Nothing ever goes wrong. How can that be? Well, it just might be because maybe God isn't as involved in their life as he might be in some of ours. The fire isn't there. The fire is there for our benefit to purify us. I want to walk us through a little exercise, a little spiritual exercise. One of the things that we got to try really hard to do around here at our church is remove the mere conceptualization of ideas. Remove bland concepts and bring them to what God is actually doing inside of all of us as individuals as opposed to the things we're writing down on the paper. And so I'd like to walk us through a spiritual exercise right now that maybe God might speak to you uniquely. Inside of your program, there is a little piece of paper. I'd like you to take that out. Take that little piece of paper out here. You don't want to use your Connect card or anything else for this. I just want you to use this one, okay? Let's use this little piece of paper. It should be tucked in there somewhere. This paper represents your life. This represents your life. You actually might want to take this paper. Someone just told me they did this last series, so this last service is kind of cool. Chuck was telling me about it, Chuck Mingo. And he actually put it over top of, you know, the notes that he took so he could actually see through himself. And thank you, Ben, for coming out. See through himself to see these things. Take this in a pen if you've got a pen. And let's see if God prompts our minds with some thoughts about our life that need to be marked on here. Okay, let's just go to God in a moment of silence. God, I know that there are things in my life and in the lives in here that need to go. I know that because none of us are perfect. Absolutely none of us. In fact, if we think that we're perfect, that's the very thing that needs to go on this thing. That's the thing that needs to go. In the stillness of this time, God, would you bring a unique word to all of us right now? A unique word, a unique picture, a unique phrase that calls to mind something in our life that needs to go down in this paper. Something that needs to burn. Something that needs to be purified. Something that needs to leave. God, if a thought comes to you, just take that as God giving you that thought. Or take that as your own ability to see yourself the way God sees you. If something comes to you, write it down. Maybe it's a core belief about yourself that's wrong. Maybe it's some sort of selfish action that you partake in regularly. Maybe it is a sexual behavior or practice. Maybe it's gossiping. I don't know what it is. There's many of them. Just write that down. What's interesting is this is now the fourth time I've done this, and every time a different thing has come to my mind. One time what came to my mind was being the answer man, feeling the need to like always have the right answer for people because that would make me feel smart. What came to me last service was some behavior I've manifested in meetings where I try to get my way, various meetings I've had this last week, and maybe that being a reflection of me trying to get my way as opposed to God's way and just some of my vociferousness. You know, and this time what really came to me was image building, the desire to build my image in other people's eyes. Whether it be what I say in a meeting or what I say from here or something like that. You know, these things are all things that I'm thankful that I know about, but they're also things that I can't eliminate on my own. I could try, I need to take the right steps, but ultimately I need God who's letting me know of these things and giving me the distaste for it, making me not like it, and then make me want to be another place. When this happens, the refiner takes it away. It burns. It's all going to burn. I'm going to do a little exercise with these lamps up here, with this flash paper. And please, only the flash paper. For some of you, this might be a good thing for you to mark this moment with that. This is not for everybody. It is not. We never want to do these things because we want it to be a religious ritual. It's not for everybody based on where you are or what else you're thinking or whatever. You might just have a bad ankle or something like that. But for some of us, it's healthy for us to mark this moment to say to God, God, I really want this stuff out. And I want your forgiveness for these things. Band is going to do a song for us, and if you need to mark this moment and ask for God's purification, lamps are open for you. If you're over in Video Cafe. You've got a flame right there in front of you. Go ahead and do that with us, with your little fire that's happening in your place. One of the things it says in the Bible is to not put out the Spirit's fire. What happens when God comes into your world? You don't expect it. But there is this fire that burns that's a warming thing and it's a passion thing. And the decisions we make on a day-by-day basis can fuel that fire, or it can try to diminish some of the passion that God has given us. And the way we fuel that fire is to continue to be honest and vulnerable before God. And so before we walk out of this place today, why don't we take the opportunity to actually say to God that we really want Him to refine us and we want His continued involvement in our life. And let's do that by singing this song together. Why don't we stand together and sing this song, Refiner's Fire. One of the things that's been interesting as you guys have been coming up is, you notice how unpredictable this fire is? In fact, it's a bit dangerous, isn't it? Nothing's caught on fire. Last service, we made it. But this is also what fire is. It's a bit unpredictable. It's a bit dangerous. And don't ever let somebody tell you that God is safe. God is dangerous. It's an unpredictability of what He might do in our life. At the same time, it's incredibly refreshing. Let me pray for us before we leave here today. God, thanks for everyone here. And thanks for the boldness that's in this place. And thank you for the purity that's in this place as a result of this fire. And I pray that as we leave here today, that you would warm us. You'd warm us. And that warmth would turn into a burning passion to honor you in all that we do. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, friends, have yourself a great week. We'll see you next week. We'll talk about fire.